ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். கணானந்த்வா கணபதிகும் ஹவாமஹே. ஜ்யேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணாம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஶ்ருண்வன்னூதிபிஃ சீத சாதனம் ஸ்ரீ மஹாகணாதிபதயே நமஹ. சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். சர்வஸ்ய சாஹம் ஹ்ருதி சந்நிவிஷ்டஃ மத்த ஸ்மிருதிர் ஞானமபோஹனஞ்ச வேதைஶ்ச ஸர்வைரஹமேவ வேத்யஃ. வேதாந்த க்ருத் வேத விதே வசாஹம். அஹம் சர்வஸ்ய ஹ்ருதி சந்நிவிஷ்டஃ. ஸோ யூ சி, ஹியூமன் பீயிங்ஸ் ஆர் சர்ச்சிங் ஃபார் ஈஸ்வர, ஃபார் காட். சின்ஸ் டைம்ஸ் இம்மெமோரியல் பீப்புள் ஆர் சர்ச்சிங் ஃபார் காட். பீப்புள் ஆஃப் ஆல் ரீஜியன்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி குளோப், people of all cultures and all social groups, all are searching for Ishvara. So there is no exception. You may wonder, how do you know that they are searching for Ishvara? You see, there are so many religions in the society that shows each religion is an effort on the part of the human mind to search for Ishvara. That is how the religions are, they come. So, but there is the search doesn't seem to be fulfilled all the time. The search seems to be futile quite often. So, the human mind is such that it wants to know God, and then it moves in the direction and finally ends up creating an organizational structure. That is how it ends up. That is how the human mind is like that. For example, a very good meaning gentleman from somewhere in one of the towns of US, he telephoned to me. He wants my advice. So somebody told, you talk with this Swami like that. So he was dabbling with some Vedanta here and there. And so now he wants to take this study of Vedanta a little further. And so now he wants my advice. Advice about what? Not about the study of Vedanta. That advice he doesn't want. So he wants the advice about the name of the organization that he wants to register for studying Vedanta. The advice about name. Already he has a few names planned with the proper acronym and all that. And so he wants me to suggest a name. Then I told, why should you register a name for studying Vedanta? No, we are studying Vedanta for 6 months, 1 year, this and that, and so we want to give a structure to that. And we want to register and then get a tax exemption. Really, tax exemption, therefore people are ready to donate. We can make some money, we can collect some money. He is a very good-meaning person, a wonderful person. And then we can have a physical place, and then we can organize food for the people who come to attend the classes, this and that. And therefore he wants my advice only about the name. Then I said, the name is okay, that is not the point. But I have a different kind of advice to give to you. So anyway, to make a long story short, I told him, drop this idea of forming an organization. And you tell me what kind of Vedanta you are studying. You tell me that. And the Sanskrit also, okay, you tell me what is it that you are studying. Okay, this is very good, you pursue that. And now my advice to you is, drop that idea of registering an organization. Drop it. You don't need it. So this is how human mind works. This is how organized religions are created in the world in the name of searching for God. The moment, as a human being, you want to search for God. Bhagavan Buddha wanted to know God. He did not start an organized religion. People started an organized religion after him, against his advice. He did not start an organized religion. He went into deep meditation. That is how he searched for God. The same is the case with Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, same is the case with Christ, with all these saints. This is how they searched for God. They did not start organizations. And every religious organization, it reflects the inherent urge to know God, that pipasa, inherent thirst for knowing God. But then that thirst is always given a direction in the line of forming an organized structure. Once you started that, now you become you become bound to the structure, and you lose direction of the truth. So that is not the way to pursue Ishvara. So, in fact, when you understand that Ishvara is outside of you, so now when Ishvara is outside of us, then the issue is how does he look like and what is his name, where does he live, these are the issues. And then everyone comes out with his own formula. So Ishvara looks like this, and he is located at such and such place, and therefore he has this name. People fight about name of Ishvara they fight about. So Swami Ramatirtha narrated an interesting story. So the story is four people are fighting among themselves, bitterly fighting, almost ready for the fist fight. Maybe one or two blows are also made already. Then he asks, the wise man asks, why are you fighting? You see, we are all very thirsty. And how the thirst can be eliminated? I say, Pani will remove thirst. Whereas he doesn't agree to that. What kind of a person he is? He says, Aqua eliminate thirst. What nonsense is he talking? How can aqua eliminate thirst? Only Pani can eliminate thirst. Pani means in Hindi it is called water. And a third person, he says, you see, both are talking nonsense. How can thirst be eliminated by those silly things? Thirst can be quenched only by Tannir. Not Pani, not aqua. Tannir. Then the fourth man says something else. Jalam, he is a Sanskrit student. So Jalam eliminates thirst. That is what he says. Then this wise man, okay, you stop fighting. Give me 5 minutes time. He calls one person inside and gives him a cup of water, fresh, nice water. And he looks at it and says, Pani, and he drinks it. And comes out saying, yes, Pani eliminates thirst. And the second man he calls inside, without the other three people coming inside, only one person at a time. And he gives him fresh water, Yakva, and he drinks it and he comes out. And then when all the four people have their thirst is quenched, he shows them the thing which has quenched their thirst. And then asked, what is it? All the four people simultaneously replied, Pani, Aqua, Jalam, like that. This is how people fight about God. So, while fighting for God, these four people are fighting about what? They are not fighting about the vastu, because all the people are seeking the same vastu. They are not seeking different vastus. Then how come seeking the same vastu, same reality, how come they are fighting now? Because they assume the name is the vastu. They are fighting about the name. the vastu has no name. Name is created by the human mind. Vastu has no name. Before language was discovered, water was there. Vastu has no name. It is nameless. But name came from the human mind, from the human thought. It came later. These religions are like that. So they give a name and they give a form that goes with the name and then give a structure. Once you do this much, you are ready, because now you have isolated from the truth. The truth is no more, doesn't fit into it. And they have already formulated a path. A path. It is not going to come by a path. It is a timeless journey in a pathless land, as one philosopher says. Therefore, if you fix a path, you will never reach there. You have fixed a name that only serves to divide your ideas about God. You become fragmented. You do not become integrated. So this is how in the history of humankind, the search for God, it is destined to fail, because the whole effort is in the wrong direction to begin with. And then comes philosophers like Buddha, Christ, Sri Krishna. These are the philosophers. They come and they tell the truth. And then people, instead of knowing the truth, they wait for the person to die. They wait because they cannot organize the truth as long as the servant is alive. The servant has to die. They wait till he dies. And when he is living, they ignore him. They don't pay any attention to him. They ignore him while he is alive. He must die. Then only his name and then his form can be used to start a religion. They allow him to die. They wait for the person to die. Humanity is like that. And after his death, so create a religion in his name. It takes some time to create a religion. You cannot do it in a week or a month. Even to register a body, you need, in India it takes for 3 to 6 months to register. In the registrar of registrations, there is a registrar. He will not give appointment. You have to go after him 10, 20 phone calls, then only you get appointment. And the appointed date, it may not happen also. If some bandh is happening in Hyderabad, then there is no registration. So 6 months it will take to register an organization. So whereas a religion is a big thing, it is encompassing a large section of the society, or even more than one country has to be covered by that. Therefore it takes a time, it takes a few generations for a religion to acquire the contours and become separate from everything else. It has to acquire its own contours and formulas and all that, so that it stands apart from everything else and another mode of worshipping God. So this is how human mind works. As long as you assume that God is outside of you, somewhere away in the seventh heaven or in the clouds, liable to catch cold, so as long as God is like that, put him away from you, and then you also formulate a structure, a path, a method, a ritual, a structure, a name, all these things you do. So this is how you have permanently blocked any chance of discovering God. Sometimes I wonder whether religions, they bring God close to the human heart, or they take God away from the human heart. It can work either way. So, for example, certain religious sects put God firmly in a place, heaven, or Vaikuntha, or Kailasa, fixed there, and then work around that, then work out a methodology to reach God. So around that given, that is the given, that is how they start. So they are virtually putting God away from the reach of themselves and their followers. That is what they are doing. So there comes a philosopher occasionally, who knows the truth, and he declares, so God is in your heart. Not only in your heart, God is in the heart of every living being. God is compared with a circle. God is a, you just visualize a circle. How he could be in every human heart, I am trying to explain that. You just visualize a circle of infinite radius. When the circle's radius increases, radius or diameter, one and the same, it increases, its concavity decreases. And its curvature decreases. The radius is small, the circle's curvature is a very high curvature. But as the radius increases, the curvature reduces gradually. And when the radius becomes infinite, the curvature becomes zero. Means it is not concave to some and convex to the rest. When it is concave to some, means when the circle includes something, then it excludes everything else. When you say, I am a Dutchman, you have now divided humanity perfectly into two groups. Humanity is divided into Dutch and non-Dutch. And so you are concave towards the Dutch and convex towards the non-Dutch. I said Dutch so that there is no Dutch around here. Because if I say something else, you may not. So Dutch means, this is how you divide the humanity. So when you have infinite radius, there is no fragmentation. It is not concave to anything. It is not convex to anything. It includes everything. Sarvasya chaham. That is the circle with infinite radius. Zero curvature. Now I ask you the question. Where will you find the center of such a circle? You answer. That is the beauty of it. It has a center everywhere. Such a circle of infinite radius will have a center everywhere. And that is the beauty of that vision of Ishvara. So Ishvara is like a circle with infinite radius. Concave to none. Convex to none. Zero curvature. Curvature is vaishamya, unevenness. Whereas Ishvara is like a straight line, samaha. Not vishama. Vishama means some concavity, some curvature. Includes some, excludes a lot. Whereas Ishvara is like a straight line, which includes everything, which doesn't exclude anything. Includes everything in the sense it doesn't exclude anything. And it has such a circle, it is called a limiting circle. There is another limiting circle also. Other end of the limiting circle with zero radius. It is called point circle. And this point circle is extreme selfishness. Me. That is the point circle. Extreme case of selfishness, egoity. That is the point circle. Zero egoity. Egoless awareness. So that is godliness. If your awareness is egoless, you are already God. So sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha. Ishvara abides. Ishvara is not a gentleman. The words you say God, it may give a connotation that there is a gentleman called God. Just like the word Ishvaraha. It's not that the problem is with English word only. The same problem is with English, Sanskrit word also. With Telugu word also. Every word has, in Telugu we say Devudu, do. The moment you say do pratyaya, he is God, he is a gentleman and he is male also. Ishvaraha also has the same issue. Unless you understand properly. And if you understand properly, God has the same meaning as Ishvaraha. You don't have an issue there. You have to understand the intent. The word can only do some job, the rest you have to do. So, Ishvara abides in the heart of every human being. Now, how to know Ishvara? How do you know the Jagat? How do you know Jagat? You have the instrument to know, the tool of cognition called the mind. The mind, whatever you know, it is the mind that helps you to know. It is the tool of cognition. It is like whatever I see through these glasses. If you take away these glasses from me, I will not be able to read this verse. I may still read because it is in my mind already, but if it is a new verse, I will not be able to read. With glasses I can read it. Like that, it is a tool of seeing. There is another lens inside. The eyes also have a lens. That's why that lens, if they have a problem, another lens gets, it corrects that problem. So what all, it's a tool. Mind is also a tool. I am saying it so much because people identify with the mind. That is the problem. People identify with the mind. People do not appreciate that mind is a tool. It is a tool used by you, like this is a tool used by me. I should not be identified with it. It is a tool. Suppose the doctor says the power has changed, then I should not say, no, these glasses I won't change because they are me. I should not say that. So glasses have to be changed. Generally what I found, when I have to change glasses once, 2-3 years I have to change. Then I go to this optics guy in India. So in India only we do these things, not here. So then I give him, put new glasses in this frame. Because I don't want to purchase a frame. If I purchase a frame, what will I do with this frame? I cannot throw it aside, it is still strong and doing well. He says, Swamiji, we cannot put in that frame, we have to put a new frame. Why not? Why can't you put? No, please. You select a frame. You got to go for a cheap frame, but we cannot put in that. I will go to an optics shop. Who can put in that frame? Thank you. Then he says, okay, I am defeated. Please give the frame. So he puts in that. This is how this frame is still having a third time or fourth time. I have to change the frame. I never use one hand, because one hand means the frame gets spoiled. Always two hands. Anyway, so it looks as if I am identified with the frame now. You know how? That frame, it is a lucky frame. We have an expression in Telugu also. Achi vachindi means it is lucky. It was a lucky frame to me. That is what you call identification. People so readily identify with everything. They identify with everything, worthless things that should not be identified with. They identify, readily identify. So what is the surprise that they identify with the mind? So you don't identify with the mind. Look at it as the other. You are not the mind. Mind is the other. And it's a tool of cognition. It is like you have a mirror. You turn this mirror towards the world. Then the world will shine. Similarly, the mind is like a tool, a mirror-like tool. You turn it towards the world. How do you do that? You open the eyes. Already the mind is turned towards the world. And you are alert with your ears. What is going on, what they are talking, you are alert. So already the mind is turned towards the world. Your nose is open. I mean ready to pick up any smell. So similarly skin pick up any changes in temperature, etc. Similarly taste buds. So this is how the mind is constantly turned towards the world. It is like a mirror. If it is turned towards the world, it reflects, I mean it illuminates the world. It shows the world. That is what the mirror is. Therefore, you end up seeing the world only. You are not going to gain anything by looking at the world. Except you pick up sorrow from the world. World is dukkham it is. Sarvam dukkham. That is what the world is. Look at the world. Look at the world. There is a way of doing it. If you may want to do, you stand on a footpath like Manhattan. First you look within yourself and make your own awareness egoless. You have to do that. Otherwise you will be looking with a judgmental attitude. You should not do that, the wrong. You become egoless. Don't ask me how. Just drop the ego and be aware. Egoless. Egoless awareness. Not the conditioned awareness of a particular personal person. Not personal awareness. Egoless awareness. Like a sakshi. You become. And then you watch the people. You will see there is a burden, an invisible burden everybody is carrying. Everybody is very concerned, and you can see the concern, the worry in the lines of the face, and even in the step, you can see. There is no cheer or sprite in the step. There is a kind of dragging the step, even though going fast. The man is really, really pulled down by the cares and worries of the world. You can see all that. Try. People are driving the cars, suddenly red light comes. You have to watch now. But without an ego, you have to watch. Without ego, you have to watch. If you watch with an egoic sense, it is wrong. Without ego, you watch. Everybody is waiting for the red light to come, green. They need not wait for. Like that, waiting means like that. You need not wait for it. You can relax. Red becomes green at an appointed time. If it delays, here they put delayed green. In India they don't put any such thing. But here they put delayed green. Therefore, their idea is you may have to be relaxed a little more. That is what they are saying. Don't be so excited. Relax. That is what the thing is saying. Delayed green. And it will become green. Why the people are so excited? If some power can take this car, lift it and put other side of the red light, he will be very glad. Like that everybody is sitting. Why? Why is so much excited? That is how the people become, because of their association with the world. And then people, they are so dumb, they cannot understand. You cannot know the world by associating with the world. You cannot know it. If you want to know the world, be dissociated from the world. That is how you have to know the world. By associating with the world, you become a slave to the world. Now, you will not know anything about the world. Whereas when you dissociate, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, if you want to know about the world, step aside. And then watch the world with an egoless awareness. Then you will know, like Bhagavan Buddha knew, Are sarvam dukkham. The patting guy is dukkhi. The crying guy is also dukkhi. You know why? The crying guy is dukkhi. I need not prove it. But you have to understand that the partying guy is dukkhi. You know why? You know why? Because he is partying. That's why he is dukkhi. He is trying to escape from his dukkha. A religious guy is dukkhi. You have met so many religious leaders. Are they not dukkhis? Are they open-minded? Are they not slaves to their own thinking and their own... Suppose you ask a religious person, come on, let us walk. He cannot walk with you because he is tied to his customs, to his formulas. He is not free. Can't you see that? And you expect him to make you free? How? Did you come across a religious guy who is free? Did you ever come across such a person? He can never be free, I tell you. He is so tied up with his formulas and with his customs and with his... He has to behave. He has to posture all the time. He has no freedom. You see, one lady who is a sannyasini, she took to sannyasa, sadhvi or some name they gave. And she wanted to know a few things about Gita or whatever. And she telephoned to me. I said, please come. What is the problem? You please come. You get your book, I have my book, I will clarify all your doubts, please come. Then she says, I have to come secretly. Why should you come secretly? You come openly. No, no, our people should not know that I have come to you. She belongs to a group. So she should not come openly to me, because I do not belong to that group, I belong to another group. That is what she thinks. I do not belong to any group. I belong to the entire humanity. That is how I like to think. But she thinks I belong to another group, and she belongs to another group, and the group, she doesn't belong to the Advaita group also, really speaking. It is not even Advaita, it is a kind of Dvaita-Advaita. And so if they know that they have gone to an Advaita scholar, they will raise their eyebrows. So she could not come. That is what she told. Then I asked her, can I be a little frank with you on the phone? I have never met her. Yeah, please tell, what kind of a sannyasi you are? Is that sannyasa? You don't have a freedom to meet a person. What kind of a sannyasa it is? The sannyasa is supposed to make us free. We don't have any freedom. Then what kind of a sannyasa it is? And therefore, so, this is not the way to know God. That is not the way. You are not going to realize God that way. I have been a little frank in the last half an hour. You don't mind, I suppose. So, you should first give up all ideas of division, fragmentation. You should give up. And I am saying this, by associating with the world, you will never know the world. You will assume that the world is real. That is what you will assume by associating with the world. All the conflicts of the world appear real to you. You think their conflicts are outside of you and they are real. The fact is, the conflicts are in you and you project them outside. How will you know that? You will not be able to know that as you associate with the world. If you dissociate with the world and then you have an open mind, you have a mind which is not fixated, which is very pliable, and then you have the compassion and love of a Mahatma to tell you a few nice things, then you have a chance to know the truth. Till then you are condemned to your ignorance. That is how things are. Therefore, one, this is the mind, the mirror. You turn it towards the world constantly and say, find, you think you will find God there? Or you turn it upwards to the heavens, you will find God there? You are not going to do that. There is a way to find God. You can realize God in your heart. Because God is sitting very close to you. Sannivishtaha. Nivishtaha means sitting. In fact, Upanishad means Upanishannaha. He is sitting. Nishannaha, sitting. Some very close to you in your heart. You know the world. This is the formula. Sri Ramakrishna. You know the world by dissociating from the world. And you know God by associating with God. That is how it works. And therefore, this mind which is turned towards the world, that it should stop the turning towards the world. And if this mind, while turning towards the world, seeks God in the outside world, it will never work. That's why a religion, theism, in which the mind is turned outward, in fact, they recommend don't turn the mind inward. Because if God is outside, why should you turn the mind inward? In fact, they may go extent of saying turning inward will make you anti-God. The ignorance has no limits. The misapprehension, it is endless. Therefore, this mind, as you turn it towards outside the world, and then with such a mind, that is called bahirmukha. Bahirmukha duraradhya, antarmukha, like that there is some vakya. Antarmukha sulabha, Bahirmukha Sudurlabha, like that. Means the Ishvara, whatever name you give to Ishvara, Bahirmukha people can never get that Ishvara. They can never know. They will only create conceptual Ishvaras like these people, four people fighting for water, you know. So they will be fighting only. So Bahirmukha people are fragmented and conflicted people. They are destined to be conflicted only. They will not know what is called harmony. And I tell you one thing, if you do not have harmony in the heart, you will not know the truth. Harmony. Harmony is the watchword. Total freedom from conflict must be necessary. People, you see, there is conflict in the family life. There is always conflict. When you are seeking wealth, there is conflict. And when you are seeking pleasures, there is conflict. When you want power, there is conflict. And when you want name and fame in the society, there is conflict. This is how the family life, in which people seek all these things, one or more of these things, it is filled with conflict. And then people give up family life and become swamis and sannyasis and take up other kinds of conflicts and still remain conflicted. And as long as you are conflicted for whatever name you give to it, they have all kinds of justifications for the conflict. Can you believe it? How can you have a justification for the conflict? Because conflict is the product of the mind, it is thought created, and it is against the truth. Truth is, in truth there is no conflict. How can you have conflict? Whatever may be the justification, how can you even think of justifying a conflict? So, conflict can never ever be justified. So, you have to develop that harmony in which there is no conflict whatsoever. So, that mind which is harmonious and which is calm and quiet, when you have harmony, it remains calm and quiet, peaceful. It acquires that quietude. As you develop that love and harmony, and in every relation, you cultivate harmony, fill every relation with love, and avoid the fragmentary thinking, be integrated, that is called yoga. Samatvam yoga uchyate. The sameness is yoga. Now, unevenness is not yoga. Evenness is the yoga. And so make the mind pure, and then such a pure mind, you turn it inwards. Antarmukha. So, you turn the mind inward. When you turn the mind inward, it becomes thought-free. Thought cannot show you God. Forget about thought giving you God. Forget about it. It is not going to happen. Aprapya manasasaha. No way. How can thought give you God? God is the unknown, and thought can move from known to known only. How can it move from the known to the unknown? Suppose it moves from the known to the unknown. That unknown is no more unknown. It is already the known. Therefore, it is not God. To know God is to deny God. Therefore, thought is not going to help you. Thought will conflict you. It cannot make you God realize. It cannot help you God realized. It cannot make you God realized. Thought. Therefore, turn this mind inward. To that, for that you need to purify that. It has to become pure, as I already described. And then it is turned inward, and then it becomes quiet. As it turns inward, it becomes quiet. It stops its movement. The mind is always in a hurry to throw up thought after thought after thought. That is the attitude of the mind. It is always jumping like a mad, drunken monkey. So, when you turn it inward, having purified it, then it is now quiet, calm, serene, means not desiring anything, not expecting anything, not anticipating anything, not burdened by the past. It is just space-like, the mind. And that mind, it turns inward, it resolves in its source, which is the Hridayam. Hridayam or Hrit, both are one and the same. It resolves in its source, which is Hrit. It is called Hrit for the same reasons that God is called Hara or Hari or Hirim. Or this Hirim became Rahim also. So, why God is called Hara or Hari or Hirim? Harati iti Harihi. He eliminates the affliction, the sorrow, the ignorance. That's why he is called Hari. For the same reason, Hrit, Harati, it is Hrit. So, the bondage of samsara, the affliction of samsara will end when you realize that in you. That's why it is called Hrit. So, that is the inner space of Chit, awareness, which is the Atma, which is Ishvara. So, Ishvara is present in you, in the heart, in the space of the heart, as Atman. You can realize Ishvara there. Then you may want to know, what about the outside thing? I turned inward, and okay, I realize God in me, in my heart I realize God. Then what happens to the outside? You realize God within you, in your heart. Then open the eyes, you will see God everywhere. You discover peace within you, open the eyes, you will see peace everywhere. And now, sarvam kalvidam brahma, that is the rishi, a rishi did not pick up from a book. A rishi doesn't pick up from a book. Vedas are not books. Vedas are the vision of rishis, they are not books. Vedas are in nature. In fact, the Shakespeare says, tongues in trees. That is what he says. Sermons in stones and poems in the brooks. So that is how he sees. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. He is not quoting from a book. That is the Veda. Sarvam kalvidam brahma of the rishi is the Veda. Now what we do, we print it and make a book and read from it. And for us, this book is the Veda. Those for whom Veda is a book are ignorant. But the society considers them as knowledgeable. For whom Veda is not in books, Veda is, as I told you, the sermons are in the stones. That is what Veda is. The poems in the brooks. Sarvam kalvidam. There is Veda in the nature. There is Veda in the heart, in the realization. And then there is Veda in the nature. And then there is Veda in the heart. There is Veda in the hand. Karagre vasate lakshmi. That is Veda. So in my hand there is wealth. I can create wealth. Karamadhye saraswati. All knowledge is in my hand, not in the book. Karamule tu govindaha. That is Veda. Hridi sannivishtaha Ishvara is, that is Veda. And the rishis have seen Vedas in the nature. And people wait, as I already told you, people wait for the rishi to die. As long as he is alive, he has no use. They allow him to die. And after he dies, they create books and write books and all that. And they assume that that is knowledge. Books are not knowledge. Books are ignorance. If books remain as books, they are ignorance. You stuff the mind, the intellect with books. A book can be sitting here. Do you call that person wise? No. then why do you say ignorant? Because he thinks he is wise. That's why he is ignorant. Suppose he doesn't think he is wise, he has a chance to get the truth. But he thinks that he is wise. And people around him tell, you are wise, 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 Jindabad, they say. Therefore, so this is how Sarvasya Chaham Hrati Sannivishta. This story can go on like that. It is a Sunday morning, you are all free, and I am also a kind of free. Therefore, I am just like a bird taking to flight. So that is what I am doing. I hope you understand me. So Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi says, so Hridaya Kuhara Madhye Kevalam Brahma Matram. That is this only, this verse only. Generally, if I have to teach the text, that is called Gita, Ramana Gita. This verse is in Ramana Gita, in the third adhyaya or fourth adhyaya. It also has 18 adhyayas. And this verse you find there. And if I teach Ramana Gita, I was doing it in Hyderabad, I quote this verse. And if I teach this, I quote that verse. You cannot help it. There is nothing else to quote. So Ramana Maharshi says, like Sri Krishna says, Aham means Brahma. Sri Krishna is Ishvara. I am sitting in your heart. Then Ramana says, Ramana doesn't say Aham, he says Brahma directly. So Hridaya Kuhara Madhye, in the center of the heart. Heart is like a cave. A small space is there, the Harakasha, a little space, a tiny little space. So Hridaya Kuhara Madhye, so there it is. What? Brahma Matram, Brahma alone. Kevalam Advitiyam, there is no second. Why you say no second? Because you want to put yourself there, that's why. You have an image of yourself, an image. And what is the image? I am, you may not like if I say what is the image. So, are you okay with it? Okay, the image could be, I am an Indian Swami, let me give my image. I don't have that image, I have to manufacture it. I will manufacture it and put it before you. I am an Indian Swami from South India, Andhra Pradesh, a Telangana Swami, that too. Not Samaikya Andhra Swami. Telangana. I am a Telangana Swami. This is the image. You don't feel good about it. You don't want to continue with that image. Because it is such a falsity, it is. What else you need to build it? And people, they build an image like that. I am a father, brother, sister, this, that. I am a Dutch man, part of the image. And that image, this image cannot be the truth, you know. Image cannot be the truth. You should know that. Image is what you figure out in your mind, thought created, and hence it is not the truth. There is no truth in it. You are not what you imagine yourself to be. Can you be what you imagine yourself to be? What a silly thing it is. Can't you see the contradiction in that? You are not an image, but you assume that you are an image. First create an image and then identify with it. And put that image called ego in the heart. Me. That me, the crooked me, you put in the heart. I said crooked because when you write it is very crooked. So that me you put in the heart. Don't do that mistake. That me is not here. You know where it is? It is here. It is the product of the brain cells. The brain cells are programmed to think in terms of me and mine. Whenever you have the notion mine, that is brain, not heart. The moment you say me, that is brain, not heart. The brain cells are programmed to think wrongly. This is what is called ajnana. Ajnana, nescience. It is to the level of DNA. The DNA itself is programmed to cheat you. to make you believe that you are such and such persona, which you are not. And so you have to counter cheat the DNA. That is the Viveka Abhyasa. You have to counter cheat the DNA. Therefore, not here, here. We are saying here. Here there is no me. There is love. Where there is love, there is no me. Where there is me, there is no love. And here is love. It is the seat of love, and hence it is the seat of God. It is the seat of logic. The logic it is. What kind of logic it is? Logic prompted by ignorance. And this is the ego. So here, kevalam brahma matram. Therefore you never ever think that Ishvara, ego is here. Ego is here only. Dvasuparna sayuja sakhaya, Swami Vivekananda explained it in a very unique way, which nobody else explained that way. He has his own very unique way of looking at that mantra. He says there are two birds on a tree, Dvasuparna. And one of the birds is calm and quiet, anashnannanyaha abhichakashiti, just awareness, calm and quiet, not eating, not the enjoyer, not the bhokta. That is the bird sitting in the heart. And then this bhokta bird is here, ego bird is here. And this bird, it is always turned towards the world. But suddenly, it has gained some punyam is there. It has got some insight or some inward antarmukha, and then suddenly it found there is a very effulgent bird, another bird sitting here on the same tree. It found from there, from the higher lofty position, it saw down and saw another bird sitting on the same tree. Then, there is another bird sitting here, a little lower level. And then this bird started coming closer. Come down. This is what Bhagavan Maharshi used to say. Come down. You need not go up. Come down. This bird came closer. And it came nearer, nearer. And then it found that it itself is nothing but a mirror image of that bird. And then it merged in that bird. This is how he described. Therefore, you turn the mind inward. That is what is called purify the mind and turn it inward. And then it merges in the source. That is what it is. And therefore, so kevalam brahma matram. It is Brahman alone, one without the second. So how do you know? How do you know there is Brahma here? So, I was saying this illustration, it's a beautiful illustration. So very difficult to find one like that. There is a pot or a vessel and water is inside. Now that water, it is becoming hot and bubbles are coming up. And it is making a small sound also, swing, 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 like that it is making. From that, what do you infer? There is a heat underneath it. There is a fire underneath. You cannot see the fire. Because some of these stoves, the fire is blue. And so it is not red. And it is not so much. It is very powerful fire, but it doesn't appear to be there. More or less. And so you don't see the fire. If you carefully see, you will see it. But look at in a very nonchalant way, you don't see it. But you see, you are hearing the sound. Swing, swing, swing. Oh, there is fire underneath. Similarly, aham ahamiti sakshat atmarupena bhati aham, aham, aham. That is the swing, swing, swing. Aham, aham. So this aham, the sense of being, the being which knows itself, or the being shining as the knowing, And that I am is not ego. I am identified with the body becomes the ego. I am caught by the mind, by the brain, and converted into a person, that is the ego. I am, if you don't allow the brain to intervene, I am is not ego. I am is the chirabhasa, it is the direct reflection. It is like the chewing sound is the reflection of fire, heat in water. As the water, as the heat reflects in water, it makes the suing sound. Similarly, while making tea, you can see that sound. So similarly, when the Brahman or Atma or Ishvara, whatever name you give to it, as it reflects in the heart, you hear it. The reflection, it manifests as aham, 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 aham aham iti, sakshad atma rupena bhati. Sakshat, you don't require eyesight to know aham. How do you know aham? Aham, aham. You see with eyes or no? No. With perception you don't know it. With mind, with thought you don't capture it. Thought comes later. Thought cannot, that is not a thought. It is prior to thought. Aham, aham. Sakshat. Means, without the help of these means of cognition, name what they call pramana. You don't need a pramana for that. It is aprameya it is. How do you know it pramana? It is aprameya. So you don't need perception. You don't need inference. That is the aham. That aham, in the form of that aham, that Brahma is making its presence felt. Aham aham iti. Sakshad atmarupena bhati. So, how to gain that Brahman? How to reach that Brahman? That is the second half of the verse. There are two ways. So, one is jnana way and the other is bhakti way. So, you search and gain it. That is the jnana way. Or you merge in it and get it. That is the bhakti way. So, hrudi visha. In either case, you enter into that heart. Enter into heart means you turn this mind, normally turned outward, turn it inward. And then you enter into that heart. Hrudi visha. Manasatvam. Is it like that? Hrudi visha. Manasatvam. Chinvata, majjatava. So you enter into the heart with the mind, manasa. With the mind, you enter into the heart. Heart is the atma. You enter into the heart with the mind. Mind is the ladder. A ladder can take you up or can bring you down. That is what the ladder is. Now you can use it the way you like. People use the ladder to go down, okay? You can use the same ladder. You don't need another ladder. The same ladder can take you up. Therefore, you can use the mind to become a slave to the world, or bound by the world. Bound or slave, one and the same. Bondage is slavery. Or you can use the same mind as a ladder to go up. So that mind, you enter into that heart which is Brahma with this mind. How? You can search for Brahman there. Means viveka abhyasa, called jnana yoga. Chinvata is searching. Majjatava, or you surrender. And atmanishthobhava, yeah, you just dubjana. So you just merge yourself in it, which is called bhakti. Either way, doesn't matter. Both are one and the same. Language is different. There can be slight difference in the approach, but the outcome is just one and the same. Hrudi vishamana sattvam. Chinvata, majjatava, then something else is. Atmani, ya pavana chalana rodhat, atmanishtho bhavatvam. So whether you do chinvata or majjata, chinvan or majjan, that is tritiya ekavachanam. So chinvan or majjan, so you search within or you merge within. So suppose you are unable to do that. Mind doesn't give you a chance to do that. Then take the help of pranayama. Pavana chalana rodhat. Do some pranayama. some asana you do. Do something about it and prepare the mind well. And then know Ishvara within. So that is how sarvasya chaham hruti sannivishtaha. I did not remember how much I taught last week or whatever. So I taught the same thing again this week also. Please don't mind me repeating the same thing. So I will come back. I will not say that vakya, because if I say that vakya, I will be stuck with it. I will not say that. I will say matta smriti jnana. That only I will say, I assure you. Please have a cup of tea, I will see you again. 11:25. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna. Namaste.